June 1st, 11 a.m. Actually, it's about 11 to 3 a.m. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Leon County Research and Development Authority Board of Governors meeting. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Introduction of guests.
We have a guest slash summer staff member. Amoy Robinson is an FSU Tech Fellow, and she's a full-time summer intern. If you'll just say, do a quick introduction of yourself.
Hello, my name is Amoy Robinson, and I'm currently majoring in retail entrepreneurship going into my junior year there at Florida State University. And here at North Florida Innovation Lab, I'm currently helping Christian with marketing, and I'm really excited to be here.
Amoy, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you also.
Is there anybody that's participating electronically?
Yes.
Okay, so we need to do an approval of participation by electronic means. Is there a motion?
Move approval, Mr. Chair.
It's been moved.
Second.
It's been seconded. Any discussion? None. All in favor, aye.
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 That's unanimous. And who is it? It's Dave. Dave, good to have you.
Good to be here.
Fantastic. Number four, modifications to the agenda. Any modifications? Moving on, any public comment?
You've not received any.
All right. I trust everybody's had a chance to review the meeting minutes. Any edits? Hearing none, they stand approved. Consent agenda. Is there a motion?
Second.
It's been moved. It's been properly seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That is unanimous. It's approved. Dave, treasurer's report.
Good morning. You should have before you, I think there's a handout in front of you, the treasurer's report for the month of April, also for the year to date through those months. We'll start with the combined balance sheet. Not much to report there. I will point out there on the on the liability side, the FSU debt there of $701,000, that gets cleaned out with the EDA grant when it comes in. Second sheet you have is the income statement. On the income statement, you'll see we had total revenues through April of $504,000. The problem is we had total expenses of $843,000. We are at this point running a loss of $338,000. The only good news is that the loss is less than we had budgeted by some almost $60,000. But we continue to burn red ink at an alarming rate. The third page you have should be a comparison of the two different accounts, the NFIL account and our operations of taking all of the construction mess out of it and just looking at our operations. You see there in April, we operated at a $36,000, almost $37,000 loss. The month before was a $44,000 loss. We cannot keep operating at these losses for too many more months. The next thing you should see would be the reports on the investment portfolio. You see the good news there is that the yields have gone way, way up. The bad news is our balances have gone way, way down as we have drawn for construction purposes. Mr. Chair, I report to you the Treasurer's report through April with concerns that we have difficulties rough winds ahead.
Dave, thank you for your report. Are there any questions, comments from the board?
Well, my comment is just thanks to Dave, as usual, for just putting it right in front of us in very plain terms. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, Dave, the report is super helpful. Thank you for the brevity and the clarity of the report that you provide.
One thing I might just add is a concern that I have that in our next audit, I am concerned that the auditors will come back and give us a finding that we cannot continue at the rate we're going. And I've only seen in my life as a banker only two such audits before. So the ability to not continue financially is a likelihood that would appear in our next audit.
What is the time frame of that for the board's understanding?
Well, they'll do an audit at the conclusion of our September numbers. And at that point in time, they will render an opinion. And I'm concerned the opinion we receive will not be favorable.
I expect a going concern. We won't be released until February or March of 2024. But yes, it would be for the year ended September 30.
Got it. All right. Any other questions? All right. Dave, thank you. And moving forward, item number 9, Northport Innovation Lab, IPCLH. Michael and Bill.
We're going to share this little tag team here. The first thing I'll say, because it's the most positive, construction is running well ahead of schedule right now. Evidenced, of course, because of the building has become coming in faster than we expected, but they are making rapid progress. If you go by today and you've been by a month ago, you'll see how much progress has actually been made on the site, and they're still optimistic to certainly hitting their target date for delivery of the building.
Any issues with change orders or otherwise?
Got a few change orders that we are expecting. According to our conversation with the architects yesterday, they are modest. There's still work to do, lots of finish out stuff, you know, and our expectation is there will be more. We're hopeful that it'll be, you know, less than 100 to 200,000 total change orders. And when you look at a project at $24 million, if anybody's built anything in the last few years, that'd be pretty terrific if we could end up there.
So right now our change orders, anticipated change orders, sit inside of our contingency.
Yes.
Excellent.
Oh, yes. Well inside for the moment.
Nicely done.
Knock on wood. Yeah. Our architects are really doing a nice job making sure that the contractor is holding to their end of the bargain and going back and saying this was in the plans. Because there's been a couple things that have been brought up that said this wasn't in the plans and it was. So they're doing a nice job. Good. We're getting our money's worth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'll point out, Mr. Chair, that would be a real windfall to our financial numbers if we could continue with those few numbers of change orders. We have a pretty substantial drawback on that.
Absolutely. That's a great point.
I'll continue, if I may. We had a meeting of the IPTLH Board of Directors, and we came up with several potential names to add to that board. As you'll recall, LCRDA has 4 appointments. Currently, staff members are filling out that board, and we would like to add strategic board members to that. Identified were Dr. Stacy Patterson and Dr. Charles Weatherford. In talking internally, the thought process is to add significant board members like the two of them and keep staff on until a point at which the new board members are comfortable and up to speed, and then eventually roll the staff off. So as mentioned previously, as you have ideas for board members and advocates of the lab, please send them to us, as well as potential sponsors and donors to the lab. Moving on to the next item, we have a sponsorship brochure and also a PowerPoint deck with some hypothetical numbers in that, including the naming rights at about $7 million and sponsorable spaces throughout, not unlike other comparable facilities, whether they're academic facilities or facilities like this one. And we'll share this out to the group. This is a draft document and an opening depending on the appetite for the specific donor or funder. We also have an accompanying PowerPoint deck. These asks are typically made in person.
So this would be a leave behind. Related to documentation, we have current sponsorship forms which work well for small sponsorships like tech grants. We actually exceeded the targeted funding for tech grants. We'll talk about that in a minute. It was an outstanding event. We will need a more buttoned up legal doc for the large gifts that might be donated over a number of years. And so I know Michael's working on a number of pieces of documentation. Nearly all of those forms are in place. We are registered with the Department of Agriculture, so that piece is in place. We, as you know, Innovation Park TLH is an approved IRS 501c3. So we are nearly ready to go out and start fundraising.
Excellent.
Continuing on with that, we are chasing grant money and will be forever. Had an excellent meeting. We've had meetings with FAMU and other institutions. Had a great meeting with Dr. Patterson and a couple members of her team on Friday. It looks like they're going to take the lead in a consortium. No single institution can apply. So we're leveraging our friends in the ecosystem, including Aero Partners, the Alliance of Entrepreneurs Resource Organizations, to chase that funding. And this morning, the EDA announced this year's funding for Build to Scale. As you're aware, last year we received $729,000 over 3 years, which in the pro forma, while it doesn't look good on the bottom line, it adds a couple hundred thousand a year in personnel, which is certainly helpful. We, in spite of the unlikelihood, there are precedents for consecutive years in Build to Scale. We will take a run at that money as well. And in phase two, that's up to $2 million over 3 years. So they've got a vested interest in this building and the fact that they funded the first Build to Scale. So we're going to chase that as well. And we are subs on some additional grant funding. Let's see. I mentioned VIP tours. The mayor did a nice VIP tour. We're doing outreach to our local commissioners and our legislative delegation, as well as potential donors that might have tax problems and want to see their name on the building or facilities. And you are all invited to come out. It's quick. And the first thing people say typically, literally, is wow. When you walk in, it's got a huge, that's beautiful behind you, but when you walk in and see the what will be, it's truly impressive. So anytime you want to come over, grab a hard hat, you're welcome.
Excuse me, Bill, when you say it's quick, how quick?
We're doing them in under an hour. We usually meet at the construction trailer. Culpeper has been a great contractor, and they generally have ice water there. And what we do is show a quick floor plan, hand that out on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. It can be as short as 20 minutes.
Okay. If you wanted to see it, I can take you through in 10 to 15 minutes.
That's right.
It doesn't need to take an hour. For anybody, no. I can make it fast.
We like to tee it up with folks that are unfamiliar, show them the floor plan, what they will see, and then walk them through it. We've also, we're taking the occasion to do some photographs as well, both for their social media and our social media as well.
Sounds great, thanks.
I'll comment on the EDA Build to Scale. We're in the middle of that. We're posted jobs for Director of Technology Entrepreneurship and a Regional Outreach Coordinator. Depending on our success there, we'll either hire or revise a contract with EDA and go out and pick up a contractor rather than an employee. Depending on the funding amount, it might be a better fit for us and the potential vendor. I think we'll need to do that on the Director of Entrepreneurship, and we won't on, I think we'll hire a Regional Outreach Coordinator. I'll just touch on FF&E. We are awaiting the final pricing on different potential scenarios from our design team. And should funding be available, we're attempting to be coiled and ready to strike with purchase orders with pre-approved state vendors, so it will shorten the timeline related to going through a bid process. There will be some vendors that will exceed $50,000 and will want to do move those along as fast as practically possible, given our structure. Tech grants. The feedback we've gotten from tech grants is that it is the best to date, and that's thanks to the phenomenal team that we have here and other folks that were involved in that. We actually had a funder say that she wants to donate $25,000 to the next tech grants. Our sponsors were phenomenal, and we exceeded our budgeted sponsorship revenue. It was by no means a moneymaker. It was sold out or oversold. There were free tickets. We're looking next year at making it a ticketed event in the lab and then streaming it as a non-cost event and making it a fundraiser next year in the lab. So team did a phenomenal job. And the applicants were I've judged a few of them, by far the best pool of applicants that we've had. We have offered co-working memberships to the folks that didn't get the checks. And so we'll have three or four of these folks in our lab, and that's created a lot of energy in the lab. We've invited other organizations, Aero, Taltech, Women Wednesdays, and so we're stepping up the activity in order to drive more folks into the idea lab next week.
Very good.
And I would add just a couple things. I want to back up, as Bill mentioned, on potential directors. We would expect this group to, if you identify anybody, they don't have, expectation would not be necessarily from Tallahassee. These are hopefully people with talents that could be from anywhere in the country, frankly, that could lend themselves to the kind of work that's going on in the lab here. We do not expect all of those resources to exist within 50 miles of Tallahassee by any stretch. The other thing I wanted to touch on, there's a bullet point E that just referred to the debt ceiling planning and the EDA. We had a conversation at the exec meeting. And so we put in a process that we've accelerated, pull down from FSU some money to pay our vendors and also to accelerate our request to the EDA, and a $3.6 million request will go out tomorrow to EDA for funding. May pass, and it may have been extra careful, but that was the course we started on a couple weeks ago, just to make sure we could keep the construction project moving as we could.
Good.
Any other question on that?
Any questions? All right. Gentlemen, thank you. All right, moving on to item number 10, operational updates.
Michael. I'll quickly bring you up just on the leasing here at Idea Lab has continued to be very slow, frankly. We only have two or three tenants. We have renewed all of the leases in the park elsewhere. Every tenant that was up for renewal over the last 90 days has renewed their lease. Career Source took a little less space than they've been taking, but it was still a win because they were looking at other vacating the property altogether. Talcor will be launching. If you guys recall, we engaged them to market the properties. They have launched live just this week, marketing several of the empty spaces in the buildings to both state tenants as well as private tenants, trying to find. And so we hope to have some traction from some of that in the immediate future. The OEV, if you guys recall, last week I told you we were going to try and work with the OEV to accelerate some of the funding under the Danfoss agreement. They have agreed to do that. I was hoping to say we had the check today, but I was told we should expect the check this week for $268,000. That will dramatically help with the elevator work and other just funding needs that we have. I think David covered it adequately, that the funding and cash flow continue to be very tight. The numbers, as we talked about, $30,000 to $40,000 a month is our burn, and that is in excluding the elevator work. It is excluding the fact that we approved today on the consent a $40,000 air conditioner replacement over in the Johnson building. So as you guys are well aware, the facilities and the property continues to have dramatic maintenance and upkeep needs. And then the last thing that I wanted to cover on this was, I was gonna suggest to the board that we extend the Talcor property management agreement for an additional year. They have agreed, the exec committee wanted me to go back to them and ask if they would continue to do that for one more year at the same, the current rate, which they did. I've got a draft of that agreement prepared, and Talcor is comfortable with staying at the same rate for one more year. So that will require a vote of the board to advance.
Does that need a motion now, or does it bring back the agenda item?
We can do that now, I believe.
Yeah, I'll move it.
Okay, it's been moved and properly seconded. Is there discussion? I think the in the exec committee, as we were talking to all of the what we have going on right now, it seems as if now is the right time to stay consistent with what we have in terms of the property management, and that really was the basis for that decision. So any other questions or comments about that? All right, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? That's unanimous. Okay.
Let me ask one other question.
Please go ahead.
Michael here. In light of the cash flow issues and budget situation they pointed out, are we on solid ground moving forward with recruiting for two positions?
We are certainly on shaky ground in recruiting for two positions. I think our hope is that we will win some more awards, but it is very shaky ground, frankly. There is not, if I were to say 2 years, are we going to have cash to pay people? The answer would be right now, based on everything. Right, we know, based on what we have today.
Well, this strikes me as a little prudent. It would be prudent if we delayed that decision on the hiring until we either vacancy rates pick up or cash materializes from some other factors.
A point of clarification, these are federally funded positions, and we've been awarded those funds. There is a 100% match, and the match is based on staff salaries. So this is federal money that we've committed to, and our only financial commitment is in kind on our salaries. So they don't have an impact on our finances. Quite frankly, we could use arms and legs and brains at this juncture.
That's different.
Well, to clarify that a little further, if I could, is that that is the foundation of that is that we have monies to pay everybody else's salaries and operations. I'm not so much worried about those two positions. If there's not enough to pay everybody else and keep the lights on, then those two positions might be here by themselves. So, again, I think it's still worth considering the fact that we have a finite amount of cash and runway at this present time.
And, Ray, we're going to expand on this a little bit when we get into the chair's report.
Okay.
Any other questions for Michael? None? Okay. Well, moving into item number 11, we ought to take note that it is 11:26, and we are entering into the chair's report. I think that this is in record.
It's a record time. It's a record.
Now, we might slow up a little bit here, but let's bask in this for a moment. All right, so for chair's report, I brought a graphic today that I wanted to share with everybody that I put together wearing my FSU hat. I put this together in 2018. Let's see. Dave, can you see this?
Yes, thank you.
You're going to see it as long as you can.
Well, now you scooted it. The pal has moved it away a little bit.
All right, I want to put this.
Move it to the other direction.
I want to get this in front of Dave just for a second. Okay. Dave, can you? This may not work. Okay.
I think it's upside down. Okay.
Dave, I'm going to explain it to you, this is a document that is very public. I've sent it around. I've been using this now for 5 years. I've sent this PDF to everybody and their brother and sister. So I can certainly send it around to this board. The purpose of this diagram was really to help everybody see the location of infrastructure in Southeast Tallahassee, Southwest Tallahassee. And in particularly the orientation, again, wearing my FSU hat, is look at the proximity of the three institutions of higher education, FAMU's main campus, FSU's main campus, TCC's campus, and then there's all of this gold property that exists between the main campus, or let's just say between downtown and the airport. That the gold property is other property that's inside of FSU's possession. I say possession because it gets complicated when you start to understand how the state owns property and it's put under the master leases. That's exactly how Innovation Park is structured. We are, our land is owned by the state of Florida under the trustees of the Internal Improvement Trust Fund. That's the board that oversees that is governor and cabinet. And then it's placed in the respective entities' master leases. And so there's a tremendous amount of land between downtown and the airport that is part of FSU's, what they call their South Campus or Southwest Campus. That this dotted line is a dotted line that everybody in this room is pretty familiar with, this Innovation Park. Innovation Park itself was, the location was actually taken out of FSU's master lease about 43 years ago. It was given to the county, and the county then placed it inside of Innovation Park. The big story here is when you look at all of the infrastructure that ties together these economic drivers, this is a very powerful story of economic development. The gateway, the airport gateway, was approved in March of 2018. It went before all of our city and county commissioners, all 12. We had unanimous approval for this concept. The concept was actually to expand the gateway project. It has two routes right now. The reason that the expanded route is so critically important speaks exactly to what our mission is. Inside of Innovation Park, when we were created 43 years ago, we were created with a twofold mission: research and economic development. We are knocking the cover off the ball in research. We have one shining example of excellent economic development in our park. That's Dan Foss. We need a bunch of Dan Fosses. That's why we were created. And so, and I'll sit down and continue the conversation. But in last year, around this time, this board started a discussion about what we need to do to accomplish the mission of Innovation Park. As we went through the summer into the fall, we wrote a letter that went to the three presidents of the universities and to County Administrator Vince Long. That letter very clearly said, we want to take a look at the authority model. It was created under statute 43 years ago, and we've been operating under this tool, but the tool we don't believe is the most efficient tool in order for us to accomplish the mission. Again, it works great when we talk about the research side of the equation. It has not allowed us to accomplish the economic development side of the house. I can prove it because in 43 years, we haven't done it. Okay, so we've got to figure out, we can't continue to do the same thing and expect different results. We crafted this letter, we sent it to the presidents, we sent it to the county, and we said, we want to take a look at this. And over the last almost year now, we've been talking about, well, what does that really look like? What does it mean? as Dave has helped us understand the numbers in his treasury reports, as we've invited Michael in to help us understand some our operational efficiencies and how do we steer this to success. One of the things, Michael and I talk probably two times a day, every day of the week, and sometimes on the weekends. We've dug in deep, and we're investigating this. We've spent hours and hours and hours. A lot of people in this room have done the same thing with Michael. That the fact that we all have the ability to speak to Michael, but we every other month when we get together, we're able to have this conversation in a public meeting. That's part of the constraint. That's a constraint and a challenge of the authority model. When we put together IPTLH as a separate 501c3, it is not under the authority model. It will sit by itself. The board of IPTLH, the board that oversees North Florida Innovation Labs, will have the ability to be a functional governing oversight of the lab's project, the 501c3. They will be able to communicate early and often and without the constraint of public meetings. And so that's just one element, but we've got to get to this level of functionality. Michael and I have started conversations with both FAMU and FSU, with the respective vice presidents of research, with their respective CFOs. We have a meeting scheduled next week with President Robinson. We don't yet have a meeting scheduled with President McCullough. And we need to schedule a meeting. I know Michael has had conversations with President Murdahl. But all of these conversations are critically important because we have to get to the structure. We have to get to the solution that creates success. And so here's, as we talk through this, here's what I want everybody in this room to understand and appreciate. First of all, we are on the board of LCRDA. We are not on the board of Innovation Park. These are different. Innovation Park is a location. It is healthy. It has an identity. It is a destination. We have opportunity. The lines, while there's a 208-acre boundary, the real identity of Innovation Park is a bit fuzzy. It sits outside of those 208 acres. The FAM FSU College of Engineering, the golf course, the Morecambe Aquatic, all of these things that are in proximity, they are inextricably linked to Innovation Park. If you want to think about an analog, let's go up to Raleigh. Let's look at NC State. Let's look at RTP. That is a destination. It's as an analog, it's very similar in terms of its, there's a university and a golf course and the research centers and all of these things. I don't know what the boundary of Research Triangle Park is. I would say that there's three cities involved in a Research Triangle Park. Okay, but it's a destination. It's where people go. And there's a reason, even if you're not a researcher, there's a reason to be there. We need to look at Innovation Park and that through that same type of lens. And it's healthy. It's invisible to a lot of people. If you've lived in this community for a long time, it's probably 50-50 on whether or not you can tell somebody where Innovation Park is located. I would say that if you live north of I-10, the chances of you being able to give somebody street directions to Innovation Park, canvas the next 100 people that you see that live north of I-10, and I would say that maybe five of them would be able to give you directions. So it's invisible.
And I think this is important. And the reason Kevin's talking about this is that as we're talking about our finances, I think Ray brought up a good point, to the going concern potentially, that is not going to be a concern about Innovation Park. And I think we expect this board, frankly, that if you hear these things and these rumors, which, you know, these are public meetings, to make sure you delineate between Innovation Park and the RDA. I myself have been guilty of, you know, conflating those at times. And I think we have to be sensitive to that because the RDA is what's having financial challenges. Innovation Park is fine. There's hundreds of millions of dollars being invested in Innovation Park right now. Drive around. Tenants are renewing their leases. The College of Engineering is looking to expand. I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening at Innovation Park. And I just don't want to attach our challenges of the 50 acres we manage out of roughly what I would call 800 acres, if you include Alumni Village out here, 50 out of 800. Let's don't taint Innovation Park or paint it with that brush, because Innovation Park is doing just fine. Just trying to echo that.
Yeah, and that's the, thank you. That's that puts a bright spotlight on this, because when we go back to the letter from October of last year, what we said was the authority model. That's the thing that's not working. And quite honestly, as we look at the financial positions, and as we look at, if I understand all the financial constraints appropriately, we have enough money to finish constructing the building. We're asking the question about what FF&E package are we going to select, because we need to match that package with the amount of money that we have. But we also understand that buildings of this type, if you use a state standard, it's about $20 to $21 a gross square foot to operate. That's the maintenance and operations. Well, somebody do the math on that with a 40,000 square foot building, you'll see that the number is real close to $800,000. There's a real cost associated with that. And we don't yet understand, because the rent structure of the North Florida Innovation Labs isn't set up to be a cash positive. It's set up to create an incubate companies. And so again, Innovation Park, healthy. LCRDA, not healthy. LCRDA is the element that we need to fix. And in 2013, let me back up. In 2004-ish, FSU Research Foundation, Dr. Kirby Kemper, who was the vice president of research at the time, and FSU Research Foundation raised their hand and said, this isn't working for us. We're spending a lot of money, but we're not receiving the return on investment. And so there was a lengthy process that started in around 2004, and it culminated in an agreement that was inked in 2013. In 2013, if you've worked in the university system, that totally makes sense.
That's correct.
In 2013, there was an agreement that took assets from Innovation Park and distributed.
The RDA.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Preaching to my own choir. The assets of LCRDA were distributed. And when you look at the map, the one that we're all very familiar with, the one that's on our website, there is an allocation of property inside of Innovation Park that is, it's been placed under FAMU's master lease with the state. There's an allocation that's been placed under FSU's master lease with the state. And there is an allocation that's under the authority with the state. As we're having these conversations with FSU and FAMU, we're asking the questions about what do you need out of Innovation Park? What assets of LCRDA are most important to you for your long-term success as you consider your research and as you consider your opportunity to participate in commercialization and economic development. Because we've already seen a roadmap that was started in 2013. And as Michael and I have talked about this, and I think some other people in this room may have had the conversation with Michael, there might be an opportunity to expand what started in 2013 with these two universities and further develop their research and their opportunities to create economic development. Okay, so go back one point. When we, in advance of drafting that letter, we looked around and categorically, when you look around the United States at great research parks, the affiliation is with the institutions of higher education. We just have this anomaly. The authority that's affiliated with the county, there's not a ton of analogs out there that show that, and I'm unaware of any that show that are successful. So what we need to do is chart the path that will drive success for Innovation Park, the location, and then addressing the administrative side. That's what's our responsibility right now. What we've seen from our financials is that we don't have the ability to continue to burn money like we have been, expecting that will be successful. And oh, by the way, our buildings are 25, 30, 35, 40 years old. And we haven't been setting aside a sinking fund. And today we're talking about the $260,000 it will take to repair elevators, a third of our annual operating revenues. So that's where our conversations exist right now.
And if I could add, part of that, and you guys are well aware that our biggest constituents out here at Innovation Park in this area, and inside the RDA original footprint, as well as the Empire Park, are FAMU and Florida State.
Right.
So the reason we had these initial meetings and we continue to have them is to just make sure our biggest constituents are understanding and aware of the financial circumstances and challenges facing the RDA. It's important for two reasons, not the least of which is if they hear rumors or watch one of our meetings, we want them to know the facts of what's going on. And frankly, we're asking for how do you as our biggest stakeholders want to help? And that's kind of where we are in that process. So I think these are the challenges we're facing from an operational and old buildings, as well as a brand new building that's going to be a fantastic asset, but it's going to require significant underwriting, if you will, to deliver on the promises that we hope it will fulfill. And that's kind of been the exercise so far with both institutions and their CFOs, frankly, is that they have a better understanding. We've been off the radar, frankly, for both of those places, probably, you know, since 2013 is my guess. They just haven't given us a lot of thought. And as we started with the BPRs at both places, they had no idea of what our financial circumstances were or the challenges we're faced. So there's a warming up and just getting people up to speed on kind of what we are, what we're not, and to separate Innovation Park from RDA, and then also just what our financials are. And that's kind of what we're moving through.
The message that this board needs to bring forward is one of incredible optimism about Innovation Park. And separate that from the challenges that we have all understood about the authority. We will fix the authority. That is not that difficult to do. And quite honestly, this summer, we need to be about fixing the authority. Those are the conversations. I was involved in the conversation with the BPR and the CFO at FSU. Dr. Friday Stroud was involved with Michael in the conversations with the VPR and the CFO at FAMU. All of these are we're in the process of educating everybody on what the details are and what the facts are, because this board this summer will need to take action to address the RDA. And my opinion is it will resemble a part two of the 2013 agreement. One last point I want to focus on before we open it up for questions. This graphic was created in 2018, like I mentioned. And at the time, we drew a kind of a spaghetti line that connects from Orange Avenue up to Stuckey. The current alignment that Commissioner Caban and Mayor Daley, as your blueprint staff, are working on, the current alignment has this road coming about, I'm going to say 50 yards away from IRCB, which is the building that will exist right, or it's under construction.
The new FSU building.
And that's Levy? Is that Levy?
This is, Levy comes right through here.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
The new road will bow around, there's a wetland right here, so it bows around, it comes through right here. You will see, when I've said in this room in the past that the gateway creates a grand entrance to Innovation Park. When I mean grand entrance, it's right there. You will not be able to not see it. So when we think about what's necessary to unlock the economic development side, and we say that Innovation Park is invisible to a lot of people, it won't be invisible any longer. This road, it could not be more critical to the success, the future success of Innovation Park. We're doing in excess of $300 million of research in this park every year. 70% of that goes back into our community in the terms and by way of paychecks. Research is such a huge part of what we do. And so to look at 75, 80,000 college students, and we look at the economic base that's created by an international airport, which, by the way, we're, 5 years away maybe from having the foreign trade zone in place? That's when we win. When we've talked about our airport as an international airport, we need to be talking with people about understanding what does it mean to have a foreign trade zone. And then you put that next to an innovation park that's all about commercialization. We will have North Florida Innovation Labs up and running. We will be cultivating, and that space, because of the EDA grant and all the programming that Bill has been involved in, this space is specifically about bringing in small, young companies that have product ideas that will be commercialized. Okay, so then you take what FSU is doing with the Interdisciplinary Research and Commercialization Building, which is the front door. Tie that to the operations of North Florida Innovation Labs and all the 15, 20 different centers and institutes that are out here. This is a big deal. This is the future. This is the economic base of our community. We have to hold on to that. We have to promote it. This board needs to be cheerleaders for Innovation Park. And quietly, we are going to fix this little piece called the RDA that is ineffective. And we have a pattern. We have a path. What kind of questions and comments do you have?
So I want you to update your map at some point so it shows.
I will.
What's been approved by Blueprint, so that it shows what's going on at the airport right now.
Yes.
So that it shows FAMU Way, which is
the aqua color line.
Okay. So even though it doesn't have, that is the current alignment of FAMU Way.
Yes.
Okay.
So FAMU Way is
wheels, but yeah, I got it.
Okay.
I got it. My point is just that as people drive around these days, now everybody sees the airport. Everybody uses FAMU Way. You know, this is so much more visible than it was. And my second stupid question is, when somebody asked me in the community if I had to have this conversation, what is Innovation Park in terms of its current assets, physical assets?
I would say
the answer would be
Innovation.
All the FSU stuff that's out here, right? Mm-hmm. Any of the FAMU stuff mm-hmm. that's out here? Danfoss?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
MagLabs?
Bag Lab.
Golf course. I would say that the Innovation Park is a destination for research and commercialization in Tallahassee. It's a destination.
Okay. I got that part.
I would take the four corners and forget about them.
Okay, but they people are still very physically oriented. So what are the other actual assets of Innovation Park, which is doing just fine? FSU, FAMU, Danfoss, MagLab. And then under FSU, you would list out the engineering, the jet propulsion, the blah, blah, the materials. Anything else?
Or make sure FAMU, FSU, College of Engineering.
Yeah, he said that.
You got the plasma research that FAMU is doing.
So
plasma research next door.
You know what we need to do? We need to update, make sure that our website is updated with all the current centers and institutes.
I need a white paper, as Brian would say, or anybody, you know. I need to know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And to be able to
completely agree,
not dither around about it if this is what we're going to talk about. And then, for our purposes and other people's purposes, what are the actual physical assets, whatever, of the LCRDA? What does that leave out here in the early 1980s? You know, still, I just can't keep all that in my brain separately.
Mm-hmm. Easy enough.
And we don't have to do that right now. But.
Yeah, just a statement.
It's a great point.
We were in 2013, and I think Dave may be the only other person that was
right
around.
Before I came on.
Right before you came on. Yeah. Were you on in 2013? We were at the same kind of hurdle that we're at now. We had a bunch of buildings that were mainly operated, and some land, but mainly operated by FAM and FSU. And we were faced with huge expenses to maintain those and upgrades, and really didn't think we had the resources to do that. And we bought ourselves some time, basically, but that's about it. So we're at the same crossroads we were, you know, a few years.
Yeah, I mean, 10 years I think later. Another way to look at it a little bit is where we are today is, remember, we control about 50 acres in RDA.
Yeah.
30 of which is leased for $1. For the next 50 years. So we have 20 acres with five buildings that are all 30 to 40 years old and require lots of maintenance. They're not class A, probably not really class B. This one's the best building we've got right now. So they're not generating great rental revenue. I mean, that's the assets the RDA has, is five old buildings on 20 acres of land. Now, we have a new shiny thing coming online, which will be on one of our assets, the new lab. Right. Next year, everybody. Those are our assets.
Well, Mr. Chair, I would say you've done a great job of kind of setting up the way we want to think about this. For me, understanding it is gonna take a minute.
Sure.
But I think I get it. And Thomas, that what you said, that has proved to be a roaring success, if I'm looking at it correctly. What was done in 2013, at least as to those particular
certainly helped those, the two universities. I mean,
yes,
certainly.
Yes. So. And then we're going to have to think about where the hard questions are going to come from.
They will.
Yeah.
Great.
Let me ask Eric, because he's probably more familiar with this than anybody at the table here. So was the 2013 agreement when that land was put into the master leases of FSU and FAMU? Did that not then enable FAMU and FSU to get state resources for maintenance?
Say that again.
When that agreement was put into place, moving those properties from
PONM.
Oh, PONM?
Yes.
That's a good question. I don't know the specific answer to that, but PONM is a hard thing, you know, at FSU. For example, the IRCB will not have PONM, and that is, it won't
PONM happen. Is a thing of the past.
Yes.
It's not
actually PICO. It's actually PICO dollars. And
construction, we're talking about maintenance. They did get $44 million.
Right, PICO dollars come to give money for deferred maintenance. State PICO dollars that both that the universities get goes towards the maintenance of buildings. And at that time, there were more dollars that were being given to the universities for PICO. Those dollars at the rate that they were given back then do not exist today.
Last year, the legislature provided a significant amount of deferred maintenance monies to the University of FSU, much of which has been used for re-roofing projects across the university. The extent that something here, one of the FSU buildings, say College of Engineering or something, needed re-roofing jobs, they would have certainly been on that list and it may well have happened. I understand that there is some additional money for deferred maintenance in the current budget. We'll see if that happens and then also how it gets used. But it's a number that is small compared to the need, regardless. So priorities have to be made. But relative to, PONM or any money, it's really under control of facilities, and they marshal it well. And again, there's more need than there is resources. So it just happens that way.
The point for asking is that, Kevin, you're the one that said we need to look at where we go as part B or part two of that 2013 agreement. And to me, it makes sense that if the universities, by putting property into their master lease, allows them to get state funding for deferred maintenance that we do not have access to. One possible response is basically to shrink the authority down to literally those small things like Danfoss, our new building, and spend the rest of it all to the two universities. A, for research, B, for economic development, and C, for deferred maintenance. And gets us out of that box.
I would expand that slightly to say the universities might be able, because PONM is hard to come by, if not impossible to come by, especially for new properties that are brought into a portfolio, that may not be part of the existing calculus. The universities would have to figure out how they would be able to do that. And honestly, those are conversations that are going to take place between the respective CFOs and their VPRs and their presidents. And we'll certainly continue to put a spotlight on that. It's a great point, though, because I think you're absolutely on the right track.
Can we sell any of our assets?
We have, but only to the extent that you're selling the ground lease.
Yeah, a leasehold.
Yeah. We've done a couple of those deals that...
Yeah, we got a dollar. Yeah, a track record. On the sales effort has not been great. We do have some fee simple property that we own that we tied up in a lease for 50. And then we also have a vacant piece of property on Eisenhower that we're not exactly sure of the condition or suitability of that site. We would probably have to do a phase two to figure that out, which is 10 or 18 acres. I apologize. I don't know the exact number off the top of my head. So there is an asset or two, but really outside of that, there's not assets that you could really liquidate to generate any cash.
Fundamentally, my opinion, and I think everybody's heard me say this multiple times, the authority model, I do not believe works for all of the reasons that we have talked about today. That doesn't mean that we can't create a different structure, but I think we're going to have to work hand in hand with the universities so that the primary affiliation of Innovation Park is with the institutions of higher education, and we'll fix this.
And the primarization association already is with these universities.
Yes.
But, I mean, real clear, we talk about the acreage involved in the space we're talking about. It is overwhelmingly associated with Florida State, much more so than the piece we have. And put it in context, right?
I'm sorry.
So I am a staff. So I'll represent the staff's point. Because when we start here, I speak for myself. I believe that this organization has a purpose. The purpose was, like you said, twofold: economic development and the entrepreneurship, like startup supporting. That was the idea that I believed in when I started. But it seems like from the conversation that I understand, the role of the Research and Development Authority is, the first thing is very insignificant and ineffective one. The second thing is, I don't see where this fits, because as it shrinks, that means it's gonna evaporate. That's how I see it. Because right now what we're saying is the park and the Research and Development Authorities are two different entities, which is clear. And one is very healthy, one is struggling. So my question here is, you suggested that we are gonna fix the authorities' situation, financial and leadership, because there is a problem with leadership too. That's what I see, because a company cannot exist without its leaders. So my question for you as a leader is there a way out for solution? And if there is a solution, is it feasible? Is it like, is it realistic, the Research and Development Authority to exist? I'm asking as a staff member. And if it is not existing, then it seems like the park is going to a private, public kind of organization. And how does it look? This is like, this is not like a executive leadership thing. This is, I am asking as a staff.
It's a great question. How the operations of the park, how the Innovation Park operations. Innovation Park is not an entity. It's a location. It's a destination. It's the identity is created by all of the research facilities that exist. The primary affiliation then being with the two universities. The entity of LCRDA, as we've looked at the revenues and expenses, and when we look at our balance sheet and we project that out, that is an unsustainable model. There will, once the authority is no longer, I don't want to go that far. Once we have addressed the authority and we're able to fix what it is that the authority does for the benefit of Innovation Park, there will still be a destination that requires operations. So what we need to understand is, what does that bridge look like and how do we get over there?
And there's a bunch of unanswered questions, frankly.
Absolutely.
We're just trying to get our constituents up to speed on kind of the challenges, and that will dictate in no small part the path and the process.
Right? Everybody don't forget there's a pretty big number that occurred between us budgeting this new lab and COVID in actuality, $6 or $7 million swing.
And the operating costs have gone up as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's $6 or $7 million in our bank account we'd be looking a little different.
It would be a different conversation.
Yeah, from what I see is that there's multiple levels of problem, concern, issues, whatever. lot of what you're talking about is a long-term solution. What's this going to look like in 5 years, maybe 2 years, something like that? But how do you get there? We know that the president has the University of SSU has suggested substantial growth in engineering faculty and everything else. We also know that, at least it stands right now, there is some money in the budget, in the governor's budget, for what they call Building C at College of Engineering, which would be essentially a teaching building. So what you have here is a situation where you have considerable need on the one side, and you have considerable opportunity or availability of space on the other. And what doesn't make sense to me a lot is why those two aren't converging. Michael had said earlier that leasing is a little bit better, but really not that great. I mean, and then someone else said, I think it was that the inherent cost of a state building is around $20-$21 a foot. Well, we're trying to lease stuff for less than that. So if FSU, for example, has a building, and I can tell you right now, FSU space, they're out of space in Innovation Park. It's 99% occupied or so. So it's just crazy to me to think that all of a sudden you're gonna stop. You got this need, supposedly, for new faculty. You got space available. How hard can it be for some kind of a program, tenant improvements, and get some long-term lease on some space, fix it up a little bit? We spent crazy money on Research A and B to accommodate new faculty, and no one thinks anything of it. It just happens.
Yeah. That's why we're having those conversations, to get everybody up to speed on where we are, what we have, what the assets are.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like that would be, that's not gonna be long-term. That will fix problems that Dave was talking about in the next 6 months or something like that, if you can load up a bunch of leases, I would imagine, the revenues and things of that nature. So there's many levels of these things, and it just seems to me that there's a disconnect somewhere between those who need space and those who have space. And why that doesn't solve itself, I don't know.
So
the if it costs, let's just use easy math. If it costs $20 to maintain and operate a building, and we're leasing it out for $15 a foot, mm-hmm. we might be able to operate on an annual basis, but we haven't put away anything to fix the building. So now, where we are, we're 43 years into our existence. We have a bunch of buildings that we don't have a sinking fund for fixing the elevators. And we see exactly what it feels like to have to fix two elevators and absorb 33% of our annual operating budget to do that. That's where we did, so in 2013, when we distributed assets, and what was left inside of the RDA was about 80 or 85,000 gross net.
Rentable.
And we're leasing that out at, on average, at whatever, 700,000 divided by those 80,000 square feet. That's the metric that we're working with right now. And that model is unsustainable. And so we need a massive redo. We would need a full reset of those 80,000 square feet, but the 80,000 square feet are only 50%.
Yeah, a little over 50%.
And so we do have opportunities, but a lot of those buildings are not terribly desirable because they're in old shape and condition.
And they're old office space layouts too. You're talking massive TI effort to get those things to where somebody want them. You're talking millions of dollars just to get the buildings retrofitted.
Has anyone thought of demolishing them?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's every day.
Yeah. So
every time my phone rings.
Okay. And I understand that. I mean, I understand that we have a professional property management. Over time, the RDA board, through all the complexity of our policies and oversight and administration, we've become oversight to property management.
And that is, we have allowed ourselves to live in the weeds. And as a result, and honestly, this board was not steeped in the expertise of research parks. We're a local board. I mean, we are not, by and large, we're not the regional and national level research park visionary leadership. And I point my fingers at me when I say that. But we've been oversight to property management. Well, arguably, didn't do that wonderfully either. I mean, I'm just being honest about it, because if we haven't been putting away a sinking fund to fix buildings, keep them new and desirable, and if FSU research is at the point where they are maxed out on their space, but we have vacant space and we're not, I mean, we have to pay attention to that metric.
Thank you. So I think we're all on the same page that clearly there's a problem, and we're not trending in the right direction. So what do we, as the board, need to, what direction do we need to move to give you guys the authority to pivot from where we're at now and head in a different direction? Is there anything?
So I think what I would like to do is, can Michael, can you distribute the 2013 document to the board so that everybody can review what was done then. And let's be thinking about what that looks like relative to what
assets we have now,
what we have now, and what conversations do we need to continue to encourage with the universities? And then I think that we, and to your point earlier, we need to develop our white paper so that we're all explaining the same message, because Innovation Park is critical to the long-term success, economic development success, particularly of South Tallahassee. And then honestly, that infrastructure is critically important. We need to be, our board needs to be about promoting the development of the Gateway. They are, it's in design. The current schedule has it starting construction in the spring of 2024. And we need to be as vocally supportive and help our community understand what a big deal that is for economic development in our community. I can't imagine something that's more critical than that. Yeah.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Shante.
So if we think about the way LCRDA was started to begin with, right? It was started and provided with oversight for the land, right? Which we actually don't own, but had 99-year lease on. So the question to me, another question that we could look at answering is, given the way it was started with that 99-year lease, what was projected to be the way it would end when the 99-year lease is up? And that can also factor into kind of what we're talking about now around what was done in 2013, what we may be looking at doing now, because to me, looking at it, it wasn't set up in a way to be a infinitely running entity, but maybe I'm wrong.
It's a great point. The same issue exists with FSU and FAMU. Is TCC under a master lease like that? Does TCC own its land, or is it part of the trustees of the Internal Improvement Trust Fund?
I would say that we own it, but I can verify because it's not under my purview, but let me.
Okay, so the point of that is these leases were set up at 99 years. They were set up because that was a statutory limit for how long a lease could be set up. If I take my LCRDA hat off and I put my FSU hat on, I've had conversations with FSU's real estate attorney about how to solve this, because the university is there, the FSU is bumping up to, against this issue on all sorts of its own properties and projects. And so the one school of thought is that the institutions that are associated with state-owned land work with the state to come up with a global solution as opposed to an incremental solution. But that's a long conversation. That's not something that we're going to solve prior to us understanding the solution of the RDA. And Ann, you had a question?
I was just going to say, in the context of everything that's going on right now, keeping in mind that we do have to keep the city and the county coming along with us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to be important. And then for the future, I mean, this is supposed to be regional. You know, it's not just Tallahassee and Leon County either. You know, there's going to be a regional component to this, but it's going to be important not to come up with those political realities as we go forward.
And to your point, I think what Bill is working on primarily, and as we look at expanding the depth of field so that we do have a regional perspective of Innovation Park, we need to continue to elevate that while locally we are addressing the legal entity and coming up with a solution that fixes that part. Because Innovation Park, just to the same story, it's critically important to the economic development, particularly of South Tallahassee. Mr. Mayor, do you have any comments on this? Any thoughts? I mean,
first of all, I'm sorry I was late. It's the beginning of hurricane season. We had overlapping press conferences. I'm sorry he left. Today is Christian's birthday, so shoot him a text or something. You know, my history with this board, I look around, Dr. Bai, I think you're the only individual that's probably been involved longer than I have, because I served as a county commissioner back in 06, 07, 08 on this board as well. You're very quiet. I'm curious to hear what you have to say as well. I agree, we got a financial train wreck on our hands, and I don't know how we pull out of that unless we do some drastic changes. I do not like the fact that we have become so heavily focused on property management instead of on the innovative side. You know, Dr. Bai, I look at your expertise. When the park was created, you know, we didn't have Office Economic Vitality as a joint city county.
I'm not that old,
John. No, but I think you bring the wealth of knowledge to the table. You understand what I'm saying. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, if we did an analysis of the resources that we had, look at the Vice President of Research's office at Florida State, at FAMU, look at TCC, compared to when the park was created, or even at the end of the 20th century, are we a creature that is still stuck in the 20th century, or are we evolving into a 21st century entity along with the resources that we have in this community? The North Florida Innovations Lab is the best thing we've got going for us right now. And so what we should be focused on is, how do we financially make sure that the long-term success of the Innovation Lab is there? Yes. So do we ask hard questions about the current assets that we have? Do we explore opportunities with the universities and create a financial deal where, quite frankly, they come to the table with cash, which allows us to completely finish the building without all the stresses of the naming rights, although we keep moving forward in that direction, but to allow to build a financial model to ensure the success of the
of the new facility coming on board. From a physical standpoint, if I had my druthers, that would be the new home. We would be your first tenant, the research authority. And that's where staff would be located, is in space at the new innovations lab. I would seek a deal with Florida State and FAMU. And quite frankly, the presidents would have to sit down and figure out the assets of what works best with FAMU, what works best with Florida State, and who brings the cash to the table to help resolve our financial issues. And then we reinvent ourselves. Look, we did not have the Office of Economic Vitality, as you mentioned, Ann, which brings a lot of financial resources to this community. We have never had a conversation of the role that the Research Authority plays in the new foreign trade zone. That is a regional. One thing we have to also discuss, Ann, we do not have regional authority. We have countywide authority, which also drives me nuts that we're so focused on this particular geographic area called Innovation Park, when really the authority is countywide. I mean, if money wasn't an issue, technically speaking, we could buy 1,000 acres somewhere else in Leon County and create another research park. Okay. We are just so focused on Innovation Park, sometimes we lose sight. However, we are not a regional body, and maybe it is time that we create a new regional approach and work more with the economic development councils of Gadsden County, of Jefferson County, of Wakulla County, and Gulf County. That will all be part of the new foreign trade zone that plays into the international airport that's coming online. Yes, I am interested in the conversations of the big picture and drastic conversations as well. I don't necessarily have the answers, but if we keep going the way how we're going, we're running out of money. I'm not the smartest guy in the room by any stretch of the imagination, but I've been on here long enough to know we don't have answers on how we're even going to pay the bills a couple of years out from now, let alone complete North Florida Innovations Lab and make sure that it's financial success moving forward. So I do think it's time for the authority to reinvent itself. And if that means that we go back to being lean and mean, we shed our assets, we come up with a financial deal with the universities of the brick and mortar out here at Innovation Park, we rechange our mission and scope on a regional basis, invite even representation from the surrounding communities to sit on this board as a regional board. These are all things I think that we should talk about for the long-term success. I do look forward one day to having these board meetings in the new North Florida Innovations Lab in supporting innovation, tech transfer, on top of supporting the greater regional communities on how we can improve the economic development of this area. I mean, that's my two cents. Of course, Kim, I am not purposefully leaving out TCC. TCC plays a significant role. I've just been concentrating on Florida State FAMU because right now when we look at the holdings of the assets and the lands, the two universities are the ones that are the players right now. Florida State's landlocked and looking for ways to expand. FAMU's landlocked, looking for ways to expand. I welcome the conversation. But Dr. Bai, I'm also very curious to hear your thoughts.
Well, I touched on somebody else.
We have Shante and Dave both have their hands raised. So Shante.
Oh, can't hear you.
She's muted.
Okay, so let's go to
sorry. Sorry, it took me a minute to get off mute. I apologize. I guess what I was saying when I asked the previous question about our long term, it is compared to different from FSU and FAMU and with our state leases, we have a way of generating revenue. The revenue, the way that we generate revenue with the LCRDA is not the same. And that's where I see the difference. And I apologize that I didn't mention that when I asked the question before.
Thank you. Dave, you're recognized.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Chair, you've done a fabulous job, I think, of wrapping our hands around where we are today and giving us some insight as to where we need to go. At the last board meeting, we did discuss a little bit of old business of going down to Sid Martin. We planned to put that trip together on May the 4th. Both Michael, Bill, and I heard a absolute commitment for a sponsorship from that. A week later, I called to confirm that sponsorship. And a week after that, the person who was going to make that commitment to us had to call and say that the funds would not be available, and we had to cancel the trip. I think it is extremely important, just imperative, that our board, that our city commissioners, that our county commissioners, that our media, other influential people in this community see what Sid Martin is and have an appreciation and an understanding of what our new laboratory can be. So I would like to put back on the discussion the trip down to Sid Martin and propose a date of either September the 7th, a Thursday, or October the 19th, a Thursday. I've checked both city and county calendars. There are no conflicts on those dates. Once upon a time, we had an understanding that we could put the trip together for about $2,000. Maybe we can find a sponsor to do that, but I think it's imperative that we continue that trip. We have had people from FSU Research reach out and say they are so interested in understanding that model down there and what's going on that they can't wait to go on our trip, that they want to go on down earlier and see it. There will be others in that group that did not make that trip or will not make that trip that would want to join our trip. So I am proposing again that our board agree that the trip is important, that we should do it. I think it can, at the beginning of the trip, we start out with a 30-minute hard hat tour of our building, walking through it, giving everyone an understanding of what that would look like. I think maybe every 20 to 25 minutes on the bus, we give someone an opportunity to take the microphone and spend 3 or 4 or 5 minutes updating the community on something. Perhaps Bill could do something. Michael could do something. Perhaps Stacy Patterson could do something on what her expectations are for the rest of her expansion in Innovation Park. But I would like to encourage us to put the trip together and again, select either September the 7th or October the 19th.
Okay, so comments.
Yeah, that's a good trip.
So when is, we've got a board meeting scheduled for August, right? We have one, the next one's in August. And then the one after that would be in October. Do we have a date yet for the, I'm sure we do.
Yeah, maybe. But no, that October, I do not. October.
Do we have the date for the October meeting?
Well, October would be the first.
October 5th.
Yeah. And so the October date, Dave, that you suggested would be after that second board meeting?
Correct. Or before on September the 7th. So it would be either side of that October board meeting.
I would request that we look to schedule that trip after at least two more board meetings. I think that we will have a tremendous amount of additional information on what this path is. What I don't want to have happen is I don't want to get in a situation where we're on a bus having to answer questions that we don't have good answers to. And I simply think that that's going to take a substantial amount of heavy lifting through the course of the summer, working directly with the universities to be able to figure out what that path looks like. This board is going to have to spend time addressing the 2013 agreement and what that might look like in terms of a part two. And so I want to give plenty of runway on that.
That would suggest you're leaning toward the October 19th date.
I am still trying to coordinate the folks in Stacy Patterson's office. I had a bunch of dates that they could not work with at Sid Martin. And so that was in through June and July. So my hunch is they're not going to be able to get down there until August or September. The 3 or 4 people from Stacy Patterson's office are trying to do a kind of a scout trip, which I'd like to have happen before we commit to our trip.
I've got a comment related to what the mayor was saying, or Governor Longman was saying, that I think is relevant. We're involved now, I'm involved now in sort of quarterbacking with FAMU and FSU, and I had a call with Dr. Patterson on Friday, really an unprecedented regional opportunity called Tech Hubs. And
there are many of us that share the vision of an I-10 corridor, which ties the footprint of FAMU, TCC's workforce, which is incredibly important in these tech hubs, and the FSU assets that stretch from Panama City to the joint venture with Mayo in Jacksonville. Any way we look at the regional area, and that is the way that the feds look at us, the EDA and all the federal funding agencies, Tallahassee, Leon County Innovation Park becomes the bullseye within a regional focus. So just wanted to echo that we are working on a regional plan that is supported by OED, Appalachian Regional Planning Council, and aligns well with the intent of these huge unprecedented federal funds. So Tech Hubs is $75 million over a number of years. And so we're working very closely with our partners that do have a regional focus, both because it's good for the region and it leverages the assets that we have as a region.
And remember, naming it North Florida Innovation Labs was not an accident.
No.
That was an intentional naming. Mm-hmm.
And the International Airport, all of the things we've all been talking about is a part of that conversation and will be the assets that we merchandise in this grant application. By the way, that grant application goes in August 15th, and it requires a consortium and not an individual institution. So that too is very interesting and allows us to gather these partnerships together in advance and to help articulate the vision that we're all talking about.
Good, very good, thank you.
All right, can we then agree that the October 19th is a commitment from our board and that we should begin setting that on everyone's calendars, our board, as well as the chambers and everybody else who would be involved?
I
can commit to ask the folks at UF about it. How's that? Make sure that works for them before we get too far along with anything.
And Peggy, can you confirm that we have essentially a quorum? We have a good representation from our board for that date. But let's make sure that that's in place. Let's make sure that Sid Martin is available on that day. And then we'll start to build it from there.
Okay, October 19th. We've got a lot of pieces put together. We will begin that now.
Excellent. What other comments? So the takeaways, we're going to distribute the document. We're going to start to develop a white paper to how we're going to talk about this. Those are the two major action items.
I would add just again, my hope would be as this percolates out in our community that we do continue to delineate Innovation Park mm-hmm. from RDA. I think that it's critical from a messaging and factual standpoint. I think in addition, as Bill mentioned, we are still looking for sponsors for the lab, and we're still looking for regional, national, global potential board candidates for the lab. I mean, the lab is going to get completed. We have all the funding we need to finish the building. The challenges are around the FF&E near term, and then operations subsequently. But that's next year. So all these things, that asset's still going to get developed. It's going to be built. It's going to be a world-class facility, and it's going to be an innovation park. May not be RDA, but it will be an innovation park, and it will be an asset to North Florida, period.
Any other questions, comments, concerns?
Let me make one final comment here. I want to just echo what Ann said a little earlier, that I think it's incredibly important that as we talk to the universities and the TCC, you're also talking to the mayor and to Vince. I don't know whether that conversation is taking place.
The mayor or the city manager?
The county.
You said the mayor and Vince. Okay.
And we're doing that, Ray, for what it's worth. We're having conversations with Vince.
The other thing I'd like to say is that our biggest problem is the problem that the mayor pointed out. We've gotten to become land managers. We could replace ourselves with Talcor and nobody out here would even know we're gone.
That's right.
I think as we look at what we ought to become, one model could be very well to spin the property off to the universities and for us to think in terms of innovation. We don't have to have property to be innovative, to bring people to this area.
That's right.
We could do it as a regional activity, but we don't have to be property managers.
That's right.
And that's what's killing us right now.
Yeah.
It's what's been our problems, our baggage around our neck the whole time. So I think if we could get out from underneath the property and get it to some institutions that can really do something with it, they've got the resources, they've got the vision, then we can focus on another model for innovation. But I don't think we're thinking about it right now. So,
yeah, I love your comment.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Mm-hmm.
But it's what you and the mayor have stated on that are critically important.
Although, Kevin, in defense of the tribal guides who, you know, started this whole thing, I kind of count myself in that, even though I was not there at the beginning. I was there when the Messer firm was trying to defend the bonds that were issued.
That's right.
To make this
That's right, man.
So I do remember.
Yeah.
What we've been given is what you have pointed out. The centerpiece for an economic development thing that is happening in this town. We're just living in the present day, and the physical structures are less important than the
that's right,
you know, the other stuff that we can make. And so I think it all in some weird way kind of works together. We just have a big transition to make.
Well, and, you know, again, put it on a fifth grade level so I can understand it. If we want the success, you got the College of Engineering that is flourishing. You got these great businesses that are already here and flourishing. We're building these state-of-the-art innovations lab. We don't have the capacity as the authority to truly master plan not only all the land and assets out here, but how does it fit into the community and how does everybody work together? I'll give you a prime example. I hosted an out-of-town student housing group 2 days ago. And they're looking all over Tallahasseeville. And they were like, what about Innovation Park? What is this place? And they're going to probably come back to town. You know, we need housing down here. When we go down to St. Martin, one of the first things that you will notice too is that there are student housing right there. Mm-hmm. So students live.
Residential.
Eat.
Yeah. And residential. Bring
in bringing residential
and services.
And we'll bring services. We'll bring restaurants. That is also going to complement the Gateway Project, which the city and the county is doing. That's when you see, and it's almost you're building and master planning an innovative city within the community. But we don't have the scope, the resources, the expertise to do that. Mm-hmm. If the physical area is going to take the next level, it's got to be led by the universities. And the only way they're going to be interested in that is that if we work out a deal and they have control of the assets, they can tear it down and build new, they can master plan it. And as you all know, every year on an annual basis by law, Florida State and FAMU bring their master plans of their universities and their growth to the city and the county. We work very well together. But if we're truly going to take that next level and be able to break the bonds, to be able to concentrate on the original intent, which is innovation, economic development, I am all open to that conversation. And I'm also interested, if the board is interested, what do we need to do to take the first formal, informal step? I mean, have we ever sat down with President Robinson and President McCullough and said, and President Murdoch and say, just out of curiosity. What's the interest here?
We're having those conversations.
Okay. Because I guarantee you that when we, as a community, created Innovation Park many, many, many years ago, we never even dreamed that the new IM fields would be on the other side. I mean, from a student life perspective, this is now right in the heart. And so how do you maximize the assets out here, even if the universities, but FAMU, I mean, I'm sure, I envision FAMU and Florida State even maybe building a joint with a public-private partnership, housing community down here that services the College of Engineering, that services North Florida Innovation Lab, that services the students that want to live, work, and play. You got the rec fields right down the road as well. But we don't have the capacity to do that. So are we informally? Have we just kind of whispered? Or is it time to say, no, we are really interested?
I would characterize it as pretty formal at this point. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Is there interest?
What we're doing is educating right now in our current circumstances and gauging interest. And the conversations That's continue. Right. So the best I can give you is that they all want to keep talking.
That's great.
Yes. Very good. Anybody else? Is there a motion to adjourn?
So,
good to be here.